Okay, I admit it. It might seem a little bit strange to be singing Silent Night on the morning of November 9th. It's nowhere near Christmas yet, although Halloween is behind us and people are rushing in to getting ready for Christmas, probably to combat the physical darkness of this time of year. But that's not why I chose this song. Ever hear of the Christmas truce of World War I? The story has it that on December 24th, Christmas Eve of 1914, there was a truce between the German troops and the British troops fighting in France. And supposedly it was this hymn, Silent Night, was heard by British troops beyond the din of battle. In response, they sang back, and for a little while, there's sort of a hymn battle going on until finally what happened is a German said to the others, come on over into no man's land. And so the two sides entered no man's land together for the Christmas truce. They exchanged gifts, exchanged cigarettes, gave each other haircuts, even had a soccer game. But also what is chilling is they helped each other retrieve their dead. It was an entrance of resurrection life into the hell of war. And for a few hours, there was no war but the reality of resurrection coming in and putting an end to war. No one had a negative word to say about it except for one young German corporal whose name happened to be Adolf Hitler. That shouldn't be a surprise, should it? But the reality is, I'm sure that these soldiers could never ever imagine singing Silent Night or Christmas carols or even celebrating Christmas with the enemy. To them, it had to be unfathomable. It had to be beyond the imagination. Because as I said, they helped each other retrieve their dead. This was not an idyllic scene of a Christmas card. This was a battlefield soaked in blood and body parts, as gruesome as it could be, cold and muddy and horrible. And unless you've been to war, we have no idea how hellacious it is. The celebration of resurrection, because you can't have Christmas without resurrection, to them had to be unimaginable, and yet it happened. Because resurrection can break in and change absolutely everything. It's not Easter, and it's not Christmas, but today all of our readings are centered around resurrection, and oh boy, do we have questions, don't we? The same questions that the others had when they asked Jesus. Will my loved ones be there? What will our bodies be like? What will we look like? Will our dog be there? And all dogs do go to heaven, by the way. But we do have those questions, don't we? And we can have those questions, but they really don't matter. And I don't mean to say that in a callous way whatsoever. But I say that in a loving way because we as humans have this problem of trying to make ourselves, trying to make God like us, and trying to make heaven like earth. And we can't do that. Because heaven is beyond our imagination. It's absolutely too wonderful for us and our feeble human minds to even begin to comprehend. We have to be satisfied with the knowledge that it is real, that it does exist. And we get the vaguest of images from Scripture. But yes, I can say with 100% certainty our loved ones will be there. For in John 6, Jesus promises a mansion with many rooms. and in the road to Emmaus, in the resurrection account of Luke, the disciples don't recognize the resurrected Jesus. His resurrection changes things, but there's enough in him that at last they have that aha moment. So I'm convinced when we get there, yes, we are going to recognize our loved ones who've gone before us and those who will follow us. But it's not going to be the same. It's going to be better. And we have to realize that God gives us great things all the time, and the life that's waiting for us is so much infinitely better that we're not going to miss the ways of this world. So we go on living and dying, trusting in the knowledge that life everlasting does await us, and it's too incredible for us to comprehend, and that we shouldn't worry about it, because when we get there, we're not going to miss the ways of this world. The trick, though, our calling is for us to bring that resurrection like we can imagine into this world now. In 1914, in that Christmas Eve truce, it was heaven came down and brought peace to earth. We're called exactly to do the same thing. Even though we're not there yet, we do know that's a place of complete grace, complete mercy, complete love. We also know that there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more hunger. And while we're here, we can't guarantee that we're not going to experience any of those things. I think I said that right. We can guarantee, though, that there probably will be times of sorrow, there'll be mourning, there'll be tears, and there might even be hunger. We can't control that. But we can exude resurrection love, resurrection grace, resurrection mercy, and bring our own peace into this hurting world, no matter where we are and where we go, because we are called to live the life eternally now. Like I said, it's hard to imagine what it's going to be like, but we can try our best to exude love and grace, forgiveness and mercy and peace to the enemy, and bring peace to earth, because we are children of the resurrection, and that means that God is with us, and with God all things are possible. Live out the resurrection calling here. Be peace agents, knowing that something far greater awaits us. And with that, what else can we say and will say but to God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.